Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Mina, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Eurobank Holdings conference call to present and discuss the full year 2024 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fokion Karavias, CEO. Mr. Karavias, you may now proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and welcome to our call. Together with me is our CFO, Harris Kokologiannis, and the Investor Relations team. I'm starting the call with a quick review of the 2024 performance and then focusing on our business plan and the financial targets for the years 2025 to 2027. Harris will give you more details on the business drivers for the three-year period. Finally, we will answer your questions. For Eurobank, 2024 was a year of exceptional organic growth and transformational M&A activity. We outperformed all targets initially set for the year, as highlighted on pages 5 to 10. Value creation was outstanding, with return on tangible book value reaching 18.5% and earnings per share at 0.39. Our net profit reached a new record, close to 1.5 billion euros, of which almost half was generated outside Greece. With respect to Hellenic Bank, we are practically controlling 100% of its share capital quite earlier than initially anticipated. Our regional presence is further enhanced by the acquisition of CNP Insurance in Cyprus. Volume growth outperformed across the board, with the fourth quarter in particular being extraordinary. More specifically, for the full year, loans expanded by almost 4 billion euros and deposits by more than 6 billion, while managed funds and private banking grew at high double-digit rates, 38% and 18% respectively. Capital levels remain strong, with ratios ending the year as expected. This was achieved despite the full participation in Hellenic Bank's share capital and stronger loan growth than initially assumed. Asset quality improved further, with the NPE ratio declining to 2.9%, while coverage increased above 88%. This exceptional performance results in a substantial increase of the shareholder rewards, with payout 50% of our 2024 profits, up from 30% in the previous year. The 674 million euros total payout includes 0.105 per share cash dividend and 288 million euros share buyback program to be approved by the AGM in April. Now, let's move into our business plan for the three-year period, 2025 to 2027. On page 11, we summarize key assumptions. Economic growth is expected to remain strong for our three core markets in the area of 2%-3%, well above the European average. This affects positively all key economic metrics, such as unemployment, real estate prices, investments, all feeding into a solid credit expansion. As for interest rates, we assume a gradual decrease of the ECB deposit facility towards 2% by the end of 2025. The key goals for the 2025-2027 business plan are summarized on page 13. Our key objective is to achieve a sustainable return on tangible book value of 15% throughout the business plan period. We focus on three pillars of growth. First, credit expansion is expected to continue both domestically and outside Greece, with loans overall growing by 7.5% annually. This rate of growth is a multiple of the average for European banks. Second, wealth management and insurance, which are the biggest drivers for fee growth in the next years, become strategic priorities. Private banking and managed funds will grow by 15% per annum. Fees from wealth management and insurance should grow by 30% per annum. Third, we are capitalizing on the recently completed acquisitions in Cyprus. The merged Hellenic with Eurobank Cyprus becomes the largest bank in terms of assets and provides significant synergies. Furthermore, the CNP insurance acquisition creates the largest insurance provider in the country and the ability to explore the untapped bancassurance potential. The organic growth combined with the benefits from the recent acquisitions ensure that the return on tangible book value ratio will be sustained at 15% in the next years, even in a lower interest rate environment. As shown on slide 14, this is translated into value creation through a tangible book value per share steadily improving year after year, and also increased shareholder rewards. In the three-year period, the payout ratio will be at least 50%. For the purpose of this business plan, 50% is the figure assumed. Under this assumption, the cumulative payouts in the next 3 years will exceed 2 billion euros, and this compares with 1.1 billion euros in the period 2022-24. The business plan was built on the three pillars of growth already described. Furthermore, as shown on slide 15, in case any M&A opportunity arises, not only in banking, but also in insurance and asset management, we have an envelope of 300 basis points or over of 1.5 billion euros of capital capacity, as well as managerial expertise to pursue them. It is clarified that such future M&A opportunity are not included in the business plan. So concluding, we have established a track record of consistently delivering our plan and exceeding our targets. We possess a well-diversified regional business model and operate in a high-growth area within the Eurozone, following a record year in 2024, which established a robust base to build upon. The bank's prospects remain highly promising for 2025 and the three-year period from 25 to 27. At this point, I would like to ask our CFO to present our business plan in more detail.
Thank you, Fokion. Before starting, let me update you about the latest developments and next steps regarding Hellenic Bank, as shown on page 17. We recently completed the acquisition of an additional 37.5% stake, hence we currently hold 93.5%. Following that, we are submitting a mandatory tender offer to the remaining shareholders of Hellenic Bank, upon the completion of which we intend to exercise our squeeze-out right, reaching 100% of Hellenic Bank share capital. In parallel, we are initiating the legal merger process between Eurobank Cyprus and Hellenic Bank, aiming at its completion in the third quarter of this year. This will pave the way for setting forth the operational merger and for accelerating the synergies realization, which, according to our current estimates, may reach 120 million euro per annum. A significant part of them, circa 40% of total, should be anticipated within 2025, reflecting also initiatives which have been already launched or completed. Furthermore, our regional presence is also enhanced by the acquisition of CNP Insurance in Cyprus, a transaction which is expected to close over the next few weeks. Let's now provide more details about our budget and three-year business plan, starting from the evolution of loan volumes on page 21. Following a record year, and in particular an exceptional Q4, loans are expected to maintain a strong growth momentum, increasing by circa 3.5 billion euro in 2025 and by more than 11 billion in the three-year period. This translates to an annual average growth rate of 7.5%. In Greece, corporate is anticipated to increase by a solid 8% annually, mainly powered by investments in infrastructure and concessions, energy production and storage, manufacturing and tourism. Furthermore, in Greece, retail is gradually recovering. In mortgages, the combination of the recent state initiative and the increased housing construction activity, addressing partly the supply problem, may spur a segment that we have a leading position. In addition, consumer lending is anticipated to accelerate its growth pace, driven by further penetration of digital channels, embedded finance initiatives, and higher car loan activity. As regards Bulgaria, it is expected to grow annually by a double-digit ratio, or by 2.9 billion over the business plan period, out of which 40% driven by mortgage loans and the rest by business and consumer loans at similar rates. Finally, loans in Cyprus are forecasted to increase on average by circa 7% per annum, or for the three years by 1.7 billion. Growth is 80% driven by corporate lending, including the participation in European syndicated transactions. Group deposits on page 22, following an exceptional 2024 with a double-digit growth rate and an outstanding Q4, they are anticipated to increase annually by 3% on average. On the left part of the page and on MREL, we present the issuance schedule. But let me also note our plan to call a legacy 950 million euro Tier 2 later this year. Moving on spreads on page 23, lending spreads erosion in Greece is expected to continue but decelerate, ranging on average at 10 basis points basis points per annum, as the market competition in business lending should be partly offset by the lower base rates abating the pressure on spreads and the new disbursements in consumer lending. Furthermore, in Greece and in deposit cost, we have assumed the pass-through rate to remain stable in 2025 at 24%, decreasing slightly to 22% in 2026 and  2027, mainly reflecting mix improvement and time deposits repricing. In Bulgaria and Cyprus, lending spreads are expected to remain flattish in 2025 and then moderately increase, mainly driven by new production in corporate and the impact of base rate instead of Euribor indexed loans of Hellenic Bank. Furthermore, deposit beta in Southeastern Europe should slightly decrease in 2025, as the time to total deterioration is technically offset by the full year effect of Hellenic Bank's low beta to the relevant index. Finally, as regards group net interest margin, it is anticipated to decrease by circa 20 basis points in 2025, mainly reflecting base rates trajectory, and move around 250 basis points in 2026 and 2027. The evolution of interest income drivers, as explained above, are reflecting on our NII evolution shown on page 24. Specifically, net interest income is expected to remain unchanged in 2025 at €2.5 billion. As the impact of the Euribor decrease, lending spreads decline and higher MREL costs are offset by strong loan growth and the full-year consolidation of Hellenic Bank. In the following years, NII should increase as the volume growth and deposit beta improvement offset the negative impact of Euribor, spreads, and MREL. Moving on fees and commissions on page 25, for 2025, we anticipate group commissions to increase further to €740 million compared with €666 million in 2024, which included an exceptional Q4 performance. For the three-year period, we expect an average annual growth rate of circa 8%, driven primarily by wealth management, followed by retail fees in Cyprus and Bulgaria. As regards insurance, CMP, in combination with the current insurance business of Hellenic Bank, are forming a leading insurance provider in Cyprus. Furthermore, in Greece, our constructive and long-term cooperation with Eurolife sets the stage for significant upsize of bank insurance fees in the local market. In wealth management, the fee growth is substantiated by a coherent strategy, which is analyzed on page 18. More specifically, our strategic initiatives include significant investments in putting in place a new IT system in Luxembourg and Cyprus, attraction of senior RMs with international experience, strategic partnerships with global asset managers such as Eurizon and JP Morgan, set Luxembourg as the group's private banking center overseeing servicing points in Greece, Cyprus and London, and finally, exploration of growth to new markets in Southeastern Europe and East Mediterranean. Deploying our strategic plan, we envisage to reach €13 billion managed funds and €18 billion customers' assets and liabilities in 2027, translated to revenues of circa €220 million. Back on page 25, the second largest fee growth area is retail commissions in Cyprus. Taking advantage of the under-penetration of fee business in Hellenic Bank customers, as well as in Bulgaria, driven by the further exploitation of the ex-BNP clientele. For wholesale lending fees, following a very strong 2024, driven by record new lending, we anticipate remaining flattish in 2025 and slightly increase in the following years of the business plan. Overall, group fees are expected to reach €850 million in 2027, representing 80 basis points over assets and 24% of total income. For Greece, these KPIs should be 85 basis points and 28% respectively. Moving on to operating expenses on page 26, it appears that cost management will continue being a challenging exercise for two reasons. First, we accelerate IT investments, which now exceed €0.5 billion for the period 2025-27, mainly related with further digitization of customer journeys, new core systems in Cyprus and Luxembourg, preparation for euro adoption in Bulgaria, embedded banking, transition to cloud, and the gradual introduction of GenAI. Second, the inflationary context and the increasing demand for talent exercise pressure for higher remuneration, as well as for new hires, especially on areas where the group intends to maintain a competitive advantage. Against this backdrop, we have planned and already realizing savings in run-the-bank costs, aiming at keeping G&As flat throughout the business plan period. Overall, our total cost base is anticipated to increase by an annual rate of lower than 5%, enabling cost-to-core income ratio to stay below 40% for the period of the plan. On asset quality and on page 27, despite the favorable macro environment in our core countries, we continue to be prudent on cost of risk and coverage. Specifically, in line with our countercyclical approach, cost of risk decreases modestly in 2025 to 60 basis points and further to circa 50 basis points in 2027. Such approach is also reflected to our NPE coverage, which is expected to fluctuate around 75% throughout the business plan period. As regards NPE ratio, we anticipate to be below 3% at the end of this year and circa 2.5% in 2027. Finally, on capital and on page 28, in 2025, organic capital generation fully offsets the impact of high single-digit asset growth, 50% payout, the capital effect of CNP acquisition, and the regulatory headwinds related with Basel IV. For 2026 and 2027, CET1 ratio accruing for payouts should be around 16%. This translates to a buffer over OCR at the area of 330 basis points throughout the business plan period. Concluding this presentation, our diversified business model ensures sustainable profitability through the interest rate cycle, as shown on page 19. Specifically, despite envisaging a significant drop of Euribor, our core profit remains resilient, reaching 1.7 billion in 2025 and circa 1.9 billion in 2027. In parallel, revenues will be further diversified, with the share of profits outside Greece increasing to 55% of total by the end of the plan period. This completes my presentation, and we may now open the floor for your questions.
The first question is from the line of Ismailou Eleni with Axia Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello, and congratulations for this strong set of results. I have a couple of questions from my end. Could you give us an indication of when should we expect the synergies from CNP to start printing into net fee and commission income? And the 25 million we see on slide 17, is it the 40% of the total we should expect? That's my first question. And my second question is on the assumptions you're making for an equal or more than 50% payout throughout the period of your business plan. Can you talk about the upside and downside risks to that? Thank you.
Thank you, Eleni, for your questions. I'll take the first one, then Fokion will follow. On page 17, we present the total synergies on the upper right-hand side of the page that amount to 120 million euro, including all the core lines of the P&L. We should expect a gradual phasing of the synergies. However, for 2025 already, we should expect something close to 40%. Mainly coming from CNP acquisition that is expected to be completed in the next week. So we are going to have the income for most part of the year, while for funding, actually we have completed both actions, including the AT1 buyback and the Tier 1 LME, enabling us to reap close to 20 million euro funding synergies. The rest of them, including OPEX, out of which almost half comprises of staff savings and the rest G&A savings. Interest income coming from loan book expansion, including syndicated tickets, as well as the rest of the fees outside CNP, are expected to come gradually to our P&L within the 3-year period. Now, as regards the second part.
Regarding your second question, Eleni, as we already discussed, our business plan projects payout in the three-year period of more than 2 billion euros versus 1.1 in the period 2022 to 24. And this is based on an assumption of 50% payout ratio throughout the three-year period. Now, this payout level is based on the assumption, first, of a strong loan growth, 7.5% per annum, which is substantially higher than the average of European banks. If I'm not wrong, on average, the growth in most of the countries in the Eurozone is around 1%. And this justifies to some extent why some of these banks distribute levels of 70 or 80% of their profits. Another factor that we have kept in our plan is to keep an amount of excess capital of about 100 basis points so that to maintain strategic optionality for potential inorganic growth opportunities if such opportunities arise in banking, wealth management, or in insurance. Therefore, we cannot exclude the possibility of a slightly higher payout, but not something in the area of 70%, so something slightly higher than 50%, if growth proves to be milder than our expectations, so if loan growth is below 7.5% on average, or if we realize that there is no opportunity in terms of M&A that would make sense for our shareholders.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen, very much for the clarification. And again, congratulations for the results.
The next question comes from the line of Kemeny Gabor with Autonomous Research. Please go ahead.
Thank you for your detailed thoughts on capital deployment. Just another clarification on this at least 50% payout, please. Is this an option from the 2025 results already? And would this depend on growth hitting 7.5%? I mean, clearly you are a pretty comfortable capital position already. The other question will be on rate sensitivity. Can you please confirm what is your current NII sensitivity to euro rate moves? And I think you mentioned a 42 million sensitivity on the last call. An update to that would be helpful. And is this what you are embedding in your 2025 NII guidance, or should we be aware of any dynamic balance sheet management? And the final question will be on fee income, which was really very strong. Were there anything that you would consider non-recurring, possibly related to a couple of the big ticket corporate originations? Thank you.
Sure.
Harris will take the second and the third question. I will take the first with respect to dividends. We said that the payout ratio is going to be at least 50% throughout the period. So this applies to each one of the years, 25, 26, or 27. So answering your question directly, it applies also to 25 financial results.
Now, as regards NII sensitivity, this is reflected, this is shown on page 24 of the presentation on the mid-right part. This is the latest input that we had from our market risk, that NII sensitivity for every 25 basis points Euribor is at 40 million euro. This should be considered in the context over and above what we have budgeted as regards base rates, and more specifically, we have assumed ECB DFR rate to conclude at 2% by the end of the year, or in terms of average, to be more meaningful, my input, from an average rate of 373 in 2024, we go to a yearly average base rates of 253 for 2025. So this is a decline by 120 basis points on average. Beyond that, you should, if we go beyond that level, from one side or the other, you should use the sensitivity that I just described. Now, as regards fee and commission income in the fourth quarter, let me take you on page 55 of the presentation. Give me one sec. 55, yes. So indeed, fourth quarter was a really strong quarter, very strong quarter in terms of fee and commission income generation. We recorded a plus 28% Q-on-Q, with all segments having a positive contribution. However, I have to note here that out of a total quarterly increase of 48 million, so the fees coming up to 215 out of 168 in the previous quarter, so it's an increase of 48 million euro. 26 million relate to a big corporate loan financing, actually the Ring Road, Attica Ring Road concession, and the rest is organic growth throughout the lines of our fees.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Sevim Mehmet with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thanks very much for the detailed presentation. If I may ask just on the loan growth, given obviously it is now tracking well above initial expectations, what has really changed over the last few quarters? If you could give us maybe some qualitative color on that, what is driving it? Why do you see growth now faster in the coming years? And maybe also if you expect most of that to come from Greece or international, and how you see the breakdown there, that would be helpful. And secondly, may I also ask on the timing of the buyback, when you expect to start it? Do you have to wait for the AGM, which I believe is still in summer? Or, you know, just if you could give any timing information and when you would expect also to finish it, given the size of it, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Mehmet, for the question. Starting from your last question, obviously, we should get, first of all, the approval of the SSM, both for the cash dividend as well as the share buyback, as well as the AGM that will take place not in the summer, but this year in the end of April. So we have brought the AGM quite earlier. So after that, after the approval of the AGM in May, we should be able to distribute the cash dividend and also to start the share buyback program. This is going to last at least 9 months, let's say between 9 to 12 months. Obviously, when we have details about this plan, we're going to update you accordingly. Now, on the first question, why we have seen growth accelerating in the second half of 2024, it is a combination of factors. First of all, it is related to the RRF projects. We have a pipeline of such projects that have been contractually agreed in the previous quarters, in the end of 2023 and in the first half of 2024. And these projects gradually start dispersing more and more of the contractual amounts. So this adds to the disbursements that we have seen accelerating in the second half. Second, we had one or two large transactions were the case in the fourth quarter of 2024. These were syndicated transactions across the banking system, and these have also added to this acceleration. But overall, we see a better climate in terms of disbursements. Even in the households, we have seen an improvement in the second half in terms of mortgage disbursements versus the first half of the year. Now, this is about Greece. In outside Greece, in Bulgaria, we see a constant flow of disbursements coming both from the household sector as well as the corporate. And this is the case also in Cyprus. In Cyprus so far, we have been active only on the corporate sector through Eurobank Cyprus. Now that the Hellenic Bank is on board, we're going to see also volumes coming from households.
That's super. Thanks very much.
The next question is from the line of Kantarovich Alexander with Romer Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I would like to clarify on fees and commissions, clearly a big increase. If I heard you correctly, there was a large one-off, but what can you say about organic trends excluding that large loan? Thank you.
As I said previously, out of the 48 million QoQ increase close to 26 related to a single transaction. So the rest may be considered, let's say, as an organic growth. This is not far away from the 2025 budget that we have put. This is 740 million euro, which per quarter is approximately 185 million euro. Of course, on that, you should include, we have included the insurance income coming from CMP, as well as the synergies of the phase-in, the gradual phase-in of fee synergies from Hellenic Bank.
Yeah, that's clear. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Nelly Simon with Citibank. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Two quick ones, actually three. Firstly, on badwill from the Hellenic acquisition, did the recent transactions that you made to increase your stake impact the badwill at all? It doesn't seem like it did, but I thought some of them were above book value, so I thought there might be some adjustments there. Second question is just on the Basel IV impact. I think I see it now at 30 basis points. I think in the past you said it was up to 60, so just wondering why it's lower. And last, just to clarify, your CET1 targets post payout accrual of 15.8% this year and 16% in 2027, just to clarify, that's assuming a 50% payout. Is that correct? Thank you.
Sure. As regards badwill, the answer is yes. We have included a badwill following the scale up of our acquisition to 100%. This amounts to 136 million euro, recording in the fourth quarter of the year. This goes directly to equity. Does not does not pass through P&L. Let me clarify that we are talking about positive goodwill. It's not negative goodwill. It's positive goodwill.
So it reduces equity by 136.
Absolutely. Yes. Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
Okay.
Correct. Correct. Now, as regards Basel IV, the impact for 2025 is 30 basis points. While up to full phase-in, we should expect an impact of 60 basis points.
And as regards your third question, the accruals included in our CET1 ratio provide for a payout ratio of 50%.
And sorry, just on Basel IV, the explanation, the difference between 30 and 60, or 60 the fully loaded?
Yes, exactly. 60 is fully loaded.
Ah, okay. Understood. Super. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Dimitriou Alex with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. So just on the distribution front, you know, going forward, how should we think about the mix between dividends and buybacks going forward over the business plan?
Yeah, it's going to be similar to what we have this year in terms of percentages of cash dividend versus share buyback. In terms of percentages, the cash dividend is going to be slightly more, but obviously this also depends on the market valuation of our stock, whether it is close to book value or higher than book value. But on average, you can assume a distribution similar to what we had this year.
Perfect. And then maybe just a quick follow-up. I think, you know, in the press we've seen, you know, a little bit of international expansion in the wealth management business, you know, partnerships in India, partnerships potentially in the Middle East. Could you maybe just expand on that and how that helps your wealth management fees going forward?
Okay. What you mentioned about our potential business in India or Middle East is not related so much with wealth management. Therefore, we have not included in our business plan, in terms of wealth management, anything from this region. If we see any sort of business picking up from that region, obviously we're going to update you accordingly. At the moment, we have submitted an application with the Reserve Bank of India to open a rep office in Mumbai. We expect an approval over the next few months, and we may also consider opening a rep office in Abu Dhabi in UAE.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Memisoglu Osman with Ambrosia Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, many thanks for your time and presentation. On these buybacks, with regards to your largest shareholder and their threshold of 33% and all that, how should we think about number of shares? Are they getting cancelled only at the AGM, or from a regulatory perspective, are you able to give any color on that front? Thank you.
Let me clarify what exactly you mean with your question.
So
any shares that we buy through the share buyback are going to be cancelled, but obviously this decision is going to pass through the AGM. But these shares, the treasury shares, are not going to have any participation in the dividend, for instance. Officially, they are cancelled at the time that we get the approval of the AGM. So for the shares that we are going to buy through the program that we announced today, the AGM of 2026 will decide about their cancellation.
Thank you. So does that mean the largest shareholder would have time to adjust until that AGM?
The major shareholder knows these rules, so he's going to adjust his strategy accordingly.
But he has time until the AGM. That's what I'm not sure about. And apologies, it's a bit detailed, but I thought it was important.
Obviously, I cannot comment on behalf of our major shareholder.
That's fine. Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Nigro Alberto with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking my question. I have just one strategic question. You mentioned that you would like to use your excess capital in M&A opportunities. What do you think about becoming a financial conglomerate and leverage on the Danish Compromise, as many other banks are doing across Europe? Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the question. Let me give you overall our view about M&A opportunities. As I mentioned during my introduction, we have already a good track record of M&A, successful M&A, in Bulgaria and more recently in Cyprus. We will keep looking for M&A opportunities, mainly in our three core markets, plus Luxembourg for the areas of the activities of the bank over there. As we have stated, this M&A may include not only interest in banking, but also in insurance and asset management. Now, with respect to insurance, the potential use of the Danish Compromise is not very clear whether it would apply to a bank in Greece. There are mixed views on that. This is something that we would like to clarify. Obviously, if Danish Compromise can also be applied for a bank of our size, this is going to be something positive, and we're going to consider that quite seriously. Obviously, if there is the opportunity for any sort of acquisition in the insurance sector.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Karavias for any closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you for your participation. Thank you for your very good questions. Our investor relations will be available for any follow-up clarifications. We may have also the opportunity to meet in person over the next 6 weeks, either in Europe or across the Atlantic in the U.S. Thank you very much.